Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Jesus is asked. Politically, just about the only thing the Pharisees and the Herodians had in common was that they didn't like Jesus, so says a commentator on this passage. So the two groups put aside their differences for a moment and they come together to pose Jesus a question, which they hope will trick him. It's a "have you stopped beating your wife" kind of question. One of those questions where whatever answer you make gets you into trouble. Is it lawful, according to Jewish law, to pay taxes to Caesar? Yes, and you are betraying your people and your faith. Scripture says the land belongs to God, not to a foreign power. On the other hand, say no, and it's sedition against Rome, a dangerous way to encourage people to behave. Jesus rightly accuses his opponents of hypocrisy, rightly on two counts. Politically, both the Herodians and the Pharisees had already compromised with Rome for their own ends, but also to keep society running smoothly. That expedient kind of compromise and deals, which occupied peoples and their leaders often made. And from a religious point of view, the coin that they show to Jesus bears the graven image of Caesar's head, forbidden by Jewish law, and an inscription claiming he is divine. But here in the temple itself, that holy place, Jesus's adversaries immediately have the coin to hand. But Jesus is as crafty as his adversaries, and he doesn't answer directly. Give Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is God's. So pay our taxes and go to church or to synagogue. That's all right then, but perhaps not. Because we might ask, well, what exactly belongs to Caesar and what is God's? Psalm 24 begins, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Jesus knew the scriptures and so was surely aware of this psalm and other similar words. All things belong to God. And in Jewish religious thought, foreign rulers only had power over Israel by permission from God. We heard that passage from Isaiah about the all-conquering ruler Cyrus, a foreign ruler, anointed by God, and the word is Messiah, the anointed one, anointed to fulfill God's purposes. So in this thinking, Caesar rules because God wills it. So what belongs to Caesar and what belongs to God? Some today would have the churches focus on religious matters and not meddle in politics and in the affairs of the world. We often read or hear this when a church leader makes a controversial statement or an action that they don't approve of. I wanted to quote an example rather than just hearsay from me. And I found a news item from last year on the internet. What would we do without it? It says this: the Archbishop of Canterbury has been criticised by Brexiteers for reportedly meeting MPs with a view to chairing citizens' assemblies to stop a no-deal departure from the EU. The former Conservative Party leader Ian Duncan Smith told The Times, "I generally don't criticise the Archbishop, but he shouldn't allow himself to be tempted into what is essentially a very political issue right now." I often use a website for helping to prepare services. It's called Working Preacher. I'm telling you my secrets now. It comes from a Lutheran stable in the United States, and it's very balanced biblical scholarly commentary. And so I was surprised to read a snippet from one commentator on our gospel text, saying that Jesus is quite clearly calling us to keep distinct these two arenas of our lives, our interaction with civil matters and our spiritual lives. But what about all those passages in the Hebrew scriptures indicating God's passion for justice, God's condemnation of those who oppress the poor and the needy, God's concern for widows and orphans and so on? And as we well know, all of these things are not just matters of caring for our neighbours, but of challenging injustice. The Archbishop, in that quote that I read just now, was presumably concerned about the effect of no deal on people's lives and livelihoods, matters of justice. So surely quite appropriate for him to be part of. And so with the psalmist, I would suggest that we want to see all areas of life as belonging to God, and it being right, even essential, for us to participate in all of those areas. And it's quite interesting that the leading figure in the established church of our land, a church whose senior leaders are chosen by politicians, by politicians, where some of those leaders sit in Parliament in the House of Lords. It's interesting that the Archbishop should be criticised, as I mentioned, for engaging in the life of our nation. Our United Reformed Church sees church and state relationships slightly differently. In a couple of weeks' time, weekly URC will be ordaining a new elder. And during the service, we'll be repeating the statement of the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church. I do wish it had a snappier title, but it's a good statement. It includes these words. We believe that Christ gives his church a government distinct from the government of the state. In things that affect obedience to God, the church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. The earth is the Lord's, but the ways of the world are not necessarily the ways of God. Theologians Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, in their writings, emphasize God's kingdom of peace as opposed to Rome's rule of peace imposed by justice. I'm sure Laurence mentioned that last week also. And they speak of Jesus as Son of God rather than the Emperor Tiberius, whose image would be on the coin shown to Jesus, along with the words Son of the Divine Augustus. In more recent history, we may think of communist regimes where an underlying philosophy of common good, which potentially could have benefited people, was enforced by violence and repression. Jesus is asked, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Suggests there's something here for us as Christian people about allegiance. We do have obligations to society. Jesus carefully suggests that we owe the state exactly what is demanded of us. That coin was probably the amount of the tax. And in Jesus' time, perhaps that was to protect oneself from the wrath of Rome. In our own society, it's because we want the NHS, we want schools and hospitals, we want law and order, clean streets, we want our bins emptied. So we have our obligations to pay our taxes and to be part of all of that. But our first loyalty is to God and God's kingdom values. And so society's values will not always be ours. The law of the land is not necessarily moral. We can see this in oppressive societies, apartheid, say, but also in our own society. And we might think particularly of how we treat asylum seekers and refugees. The commentator from my website, A Working Preacher, says, while people must pay to both Caesar and God, they must pay them not only for different reasons, but in entirely different currencies. Or as our ULC statement puts it, we ourselves are servants in the world, as citizens of God's eternal kingdom. And so somewhere in all that, it's keeping the balance, our allegiance to God, our working in the world for justice, but seeing which is our first allegiance. And some final thoughts and questions from my reading, which I'll share with you. Paying our dues to God and participating in the divine kingdom includes repenting in the ways in which we have been complicit in the Roman Empire and its agenda. Consumerism and global warming come to mind here. Just as an aside, there's an interesting little video on the BBC News website of some teenagers who live beyond the Arctic Circle in those different nations there, speaking about how their lands are being affected by global warming. So asking forgiveness for our complicity, but also seeing what we can do to change that. And then can we as Christian people learn to interact with the governing authorities and yet maintain our identity and honour in our calling as Christians? That difficult balance again. And a big question, what are the mechanisms, the coinage, to use that phrase, that we need to put in place to transform the current reality and to bring about a different reality, more closely aligned to God's kingdom? So Jesus gives us a lot of challenges in those simple words. Give to God, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. Amen.